From the Film Grok Studios in beautiful downtown Studio City, this is Film Grok. Our commentary for this week is A Christmas Story. My name is Serge Delpierre, and today we have here also...
Michael Smith.
And...
Laura Thompson.
And...
Gabriel Cordova.
Our cue point for A Christmas Story is the end of the MGM logo. So once you've started it, you see the lion roar, and then just as it fades to black, pause it there. And we'll give you a bit of a chance to do that, and we'll just talk a little bit. And then when we're ready to go, we'll count down 3, 2, 1, play, and then you'll hit play, and then you'll have us in sync with you while you're watching the movie. Or you can just listen to this while you're doing anything else, like cooking turkey for Christmas, or opening presents, or playing a puzzle, or jogging, or something. Someone, join in here. Someone. Okay. Anyway, A Christmas Story. Of course, we know it perennially here in the United States because it's on TBS 24 hours a day when it comes to Christmas, and that's all there is, 24 hours of Christmas Story. So I think my exposure to it was before that. I think I saw it on videotape. I don't think I saw it in the theater. I remember when it came out, I'm like, oh, okay. But obviously, it retained a lot of its charm, and then TBS picked up on that, I guess, about a decade ago and started to run it all the time on Christmas.
But I saw it before that. I think I also saw it on VHS and was just blown away by how hilarious it was and how much I related to it too. Even though, you know, it's about a little boy, there's so many relatable things, like, you know, wanting a present that you really, really want and everyone's telling you you can't have it, or being bullied, or getting presents you don't want.
The bunny suit.
Yes.
I would want that present. I would.
You would want the bunny suit?
Yeah, I would.
And you'd have to wear it for, was it for Aunt Jenny? Is that what it was?
Yeah, something like that.
I would do that.
Well, maybe you would.
Into the bunny suit.
Michael? Christmas Story, memories?
Christmas Story, memories.
Warm memories of Christmas Story?
You know, it's a film that's always been there as far as I can remember, and always will be. It just sort of appeared... out of nothing and just sort of will always be, you know.
Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. It's like, I don't even remember when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I did finally see it, it was some, a family that wasn't my own showed it to me. And from that point on, I kind of, every Christmas Story, we'd either rent it or definitely TV. But yeah, it's one of those things that just became a part of Christmas. And don't really know exactly the origin of it.
It's like the Grinch. It's just, I always remember it as a kid. And,
yeah.
Remember time without it.
Well, I do remember times without it. That's all. I remember kind of when it came out. Because it was, I mean, of course, it's directed by Bob Clark, and who first came on the scene back in the late 70s, I think, with his first film was, and he's Canadian, by the way, too. Go Bob Clark. Black Christmas with Olivia Hussey and...
John Saxon.
John Saxon.
Yes,
right.
John Saxon.
Wow, John Saxon. Remember John Saxon?
Yeah, he's my hero.
TV actor. He actually did some films. He did some films in the 60s.
Enter the Dragon.
That's right. He was in Enter the Dragon.
He was a badass in Enter the Dragon.
Wow. And then he was in Black Christmas, which was like the first Christmas horror film.
It was actually a precursor to the slasher film.
Yeah, I think it was one of the first ones. Yeah. I think I saw it once. I was just like, holy crap. Yeah, I think, well, yeah, it basically was the inspiration for like Friday the 13th.
Yeah, and Halloween and all those that came after
that's
that.
That's right. Well, Halloween was what, 78?
70 or 79, right? It was right in that time period. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
79.
And then, so I think Black Christmas was like 78 or 77. So like it was right before it. And Margot Kidder was in that too.
Margot, that's right. Yeah.
Margot
Kidder
was in Black
Lois
Christmas.
Lois Lane.
And then after that, I think, well, one of the films he did, the bigger films, I guess, it was, of course, Porky's, which started lots of genres. I think he started the whole teenage sex, modern 80s
Definitely.
Teenage sex comedy.
Yeah, well, you could certainly
thing.
Attribute that to Porky's.
To Porky's, exactly. Yeah. So he started that. And then he did A Christmas Story. I mean, I'm not saying it directly. I don't have his filmography in front of me. But then definitely A Christmas Story becomes a classic, a modern classic, at least, of, you know, of Christmas films. And, of course, we'll look and see as to what makes this film tick and what makes it a classic. But I just want to mention one thing is that, in case not everyone knows this, is that Bob Clark is no longer with us. That he actually died tragically 3 years ago in a drunk driving accident out in Los Angeles on PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway. So it was a drunk driving accident. The other guy was drunk and killed him. I think his son was in the car. I don't know if his what happened with his son. I think his son may have been killed also. I'm not quite sure, but I know Bob Clark was. So drinking and driving doesn't mix. No, not at all. Actually, a friend of mine did a documentary called Clark World about Bob Clark and his movies. He actually had the opportunity to work with Bob Clark on a few films. He got to know him, and so afterwards he did put together something. So Clark World is available on Netflix. You can either stream it or you can get it. So that's your little shout-out there, Darren. So definitely watch that, and you'll get a taste of the world of Bob Clark. And it's because actually, Bob Clark was kind of unique because he did cross a lot of genres. That's the thing.
Totally.
You know. So,
they used this movie, I think it's Moon Runners or Moonshine Runners or something, for the inspiration for the Dukes of Hazzard.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
He even got paid for the 2005 movie.
Wow. Think, wow.
Yeah, about $15 million.
There was a movie called Moonshine Run. Oh, no, for the Dukes of Hazzard movie that they made?
Yeah, yeah, because of his. It was his premise. It was his premise that they used, basically, and made the original show. And then when they made the feature film, he was able to get some royalties, back wow. royalties. Yeah.
So. Wow. Interesting.
Interesting
too. Already then.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
Sorry.
It's a good. Yeah. No, that's. Listen, hey, he started a lot of things, so he should get paid for them, I guess. Good career to have. So, all right. On that note, hopefully everyone's gotten to the same point, so we're going to get started. So, remote's up, and countdown is 3, 2, 1, play.
I'm excited to see this with fresh eyes and not just have it be wallpaper like it tends to be at Christmas time when you're walking around the house and you catch a scene or two that's just constantly running on the TV.
You know, actually, that's a really good point. I don't think I've watched this through, you know, focused and concentrated.
Like from the opening credits.
In a long time.
Yeah, it's always like, oh, let's watch it and we'll watch a bit of it here and a bit of it there.
Well, you kind
of
know it. You kind of know every scene.
Exactly.
So you could walk in the middle of it and be like, oh, yeah, he just shot his eye out.
you gave it away.
No,
I know.
It's one of those films too where when even it when it is the wallpaper to whatever is going on in the day, you'll kind of stop right at certain scenes. Oh, this is that scene.
Right. Now, one thing I got to say is what really make well everything makes the film. But really, key thing is Jean Shepard's narration.
Yeah,
he's the author of the book, and he does the narration. He does a fantastic job. Oh, Zach Ward was in Dollhouse as an adult.
But yeah, John Shepard or Gene or whatever. I mean that's what really struck out. I can't speak. made an impression when I first saw this movie is the narration, how like giddy he was,
right, yeah.
And like he was telling some deliciously mischievous story, you know what I mean?
Like remembering, like, I mean, apparently it's about his past.
Yeah, so, or semi-autobiographical.
Like, right, so like he's just, you know, he's throwing that flavor in. I totally, yeah, you feel that.
Honestly. And he appears briefly in the movie.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he does. Oh, wow. When they're in line for Santa, he's the one who tells them to go to the back of the line.
Ooh, I had to watch for that. That's nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, like this whole beginning, I don't remember this whole beginning.
I don't remember
exactly.
But there's a lot
when was the last time you watched, from the opening credits?
Well, exactly. And there's a lot of detail. In fact, when I was doing the check before we did this, I was watching, and I'm like, there's a lot of this beginning, and there's narration, and there's not a lot of dialogue at all for quite a little while, and it's all very visual. Look at this. I mean, I guess this
period
is
cars,
this is what Cleveland.
Yeah,
it's looks like Indiana,
it.
I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, some of it is in Cleveland, though.
Okay,
but
this shot out in the Midwest.
But yeah, it's setting up a really great atmosphere for what's going on, the period. And then you get his breathless narration.
Look at this! Look at this! The kids are pushing in front. Look at the two soldiers. Like, what are you doing? And they're seeing everything that they everything that they could want. I like the snow also falling in the window. Those kids are really good actors too. They do a great job.
Yeah, Flick.
I think is that the guy with the tongue guy?
Yes,
the tongue guy.
I think his name's Scott Schwartz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they all do a good job. He does a really good job. I like the other kid. He's always saying
he was in The Toy, Scott Schwartz. Remember the toy with Richard Pryor?
Oh, no, look at this.
Oh, little kid looks like he's got a little pig nose.
I know. And but this is really key because we've got no narration. We're seeing all the toys that they're looking at, and they're all fascinated by it. But of course, Ralphie sees what he wants, which is not what everyone else wants.
Yeah.
And it's all visual, which is great. We find out what the whole film is about, which is...
that narration.
Not the trains. It's the rifle.
Now, gentlemen, can you speak to wanting a gun when you were a kid?
Sure.
We're guys.
Constantly, yeah, it's a constant want.
All we do is we go out and we'd play war when we were kids. Hey, let's go out. Bang, bang, you're dead. No, you're dead. That's all we do.
Look, my kid's only 10 months old. His favorite thing is for me to build blocks about 8-9 high, and he'll crawl over and knock him down.
Yeah, it is innate in boys, apparently, to violence.
That's awesome.
Chaos. We like the chaos.
We like chaos. We like a little bit of distraction. Just a little bit.
Look at that expression on his face. It's so perfect.
I love that the mother is just screaming at them. It's not like a nice movie mom. She's like, get down here! And they're fighting.
Oh, I mean, he's trying to hide it.
His brother has all his faculties, right? Because he kind of, in some scenes, I think he's a simpleton or something. You know, like kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I think his brother's just a little, he's younger.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a simpleton.
Yeah, he's got some, like, wandering eye thing going.
I like how Ralphie thinks he's being so clever. Oh, boy's life. Oh, my God.
The whole thing's kind of like you slipped inside some sort of slightly warped Norman Rockwell painting, you know? It's like, oh, the sort of iconic like Americana's there, but it's just slightly off.
He puts it on her pillow.
Like that, too.
Yeah. Like that, perfect. It's so subtle.
But mom will get, but it's just that kind of kid logic. It's like, oh, no, they'll never know. They'll never figure it out.
The dad. Oh, my
God. Oh, Darren McGavin's awesome. I met him at a party once.
Oh, wow.
He's great. Oh, he's huge. He was big. Massive man. Of course, I'm kind of short, too, but...
Now, the only thing that I love the mother. The only thing that bothers me is her hair is so 80s. Mm. So 80s. It's like so not from the 1950s. Come on.
They took care with everything else and the hair. No, that she needed. Well, I mean, what kind of hairdo could she have had that she could have pulled off?
It wouldn't have been a frizzy perm.
Well, but why do you think they did that in that case?
Because I mean, look at the style and everything. That's so straight out of the early 1980s. I can't even stand it.
Well, maybe
it would have been like she would have taken the time to flatten it and have it in curlers so that it's all neat. It wouldn't have been on her face like that.
Maybe John Shepherd's wife, my mother, didn't do that.
Yeah, but it's a common thing that happens in films, especially from like the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, where they kept their own hairstyle from their own period, even if they're doing an earlier period. Oh, and the makeup especially.
Well, yeah.
Look at that simp.
Oh, because he just asked for the rifle. That's right. He just blurted it out. It's like, oh, no, his plan. He got this complex plan. And now it's... And what's his comeback? It's right. He's not distracted. But it's funny how the parents still, they know what his game is, but they just don't let on what his game is. Okay, you're right. The brother, there's something
I'm
wrong
telling
with him.
You.
Oxy doll.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I think what he did is he said, oh, no, I was just kidding. Yeah.
Everything is so authentic. Like, just even the soap. Yeah. And the food Oxidol. Looks so good.
Oh, no, this is where he does it. That's right.
Ooh.
You'll shit you around, yeah. PP gun blocked.
Now, between the kid and the gun and the dad and the lamp, really the whole thing is just sort of a commentary on men, isn't it?
Oh, the leg lamp. Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Oh, the leg lamp, by the way, on Facebook, they do have a page. They're called the Canadian Leg Lamp Company.
Oh my god!
I saw that. I saw an infomercial on that.
Yeah, and you can actually get a leg lamp. So you can go on Facebook and you can find them, and you can basically like them since you can't fan them or friend them anymore.
Nice.
But like that page, and you can get all the information about the Canadian leg lamp. And they do have a website too, and you can find it there. Of course, you'd have to be on Facebook, but I'm sure if you put Canadian leg and lamp into the Google, you'll find it.
Oh my god.
I think maybe the kid was just trying hard. It's like, yeah. I'm just going to play this kid as dumb as possible.
Casting in this movie is just so spot on.
Yeah. I'm curious what it was like on the set. Well, actually, I think it looks like it was a lot of fun on the set. This is great.
And this is so classic, like the kind of fantasy that a kid from the 50s would have. Like, he's dressed like the cowboys that you see on TV. Not like a real cowboy, but, you know, the ones like the Lone Ranger and whatnot. Yeah.
He's a little glittery there.
Awesome. Oh, he's way glittery. I like how he's chewing on the jaw.
You know, apparently they actually shot a Flash Gordon sequence as well.
Oh, really?
Where he was helping Flash Gordon, like, fight, you know, Martians.
Wow. Right.
Didn't make it.
And I like how they shot these, you know, these criminals. They shot them in, I guess, whatever, 12 frames. You know, they undercranked it.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those old movies.
And this is what I get off on here. Because, I mean, and just in terms of, like, you know, not being a wimp about the movie making. Here he is. He shoots them.
Yeah.
And he's shooting them, quote unquote, dead, which you'd never see today. Like, oh, no, you can't do that.
No.
Yeah, this is shooting people.
This is like E.T., you know, when they redid E.T., and then they took the guns out.
I was about to say, Spielberg would put a walkie-talkie in his hand.
That's
right,
a tragedy.
That's right, he's shooting with a walkie-talkie.
I want a Red Ryder walkie-talkie.
You'll win this time, sir. Now, that was a pretty impressive move for that guy to do. Jump over the fence onto a horse.
There was a trampoline there.
Oh.
He did some splits there.
He did it well. Yeah.
Still
spy
impressive.
Versus spy.
But, I mean, you know, but exactly. It plays, like, it keeps on spinning. It plays to exactly the type of fantasies you might have as a kid.
In the 50s.
if you're a boy. They're a little modified, you know, in the later decades, but yes. And then, of course, we get the father with the furnace. We get the battles.
Oh, I love it how you never hear him curse. You never actually hear the words. It's just this garbled, like, rant.
What's interesting, too, in that little transition, that little sort of watery, cliched transition into the fantasy sequence, you'd hate to see that in a movie now, but if it wasn't in this movie, it would just not feel right.
Well, yeah. Because it fits, and of course, it's the furnace. Wait, I don't think we ever see the furnace, right?
No.
I think we see it in a fantasy sequence, and that's about it. So what I love here, and just the theatricality of it, he goes in, shuts the door, goes down. We don't see what he does. All we do is we hear it. And then we just see the smoke, and that's it.
Well, he swears a little bit. You do hear a little bit of his swearing.
But he's supposed to be world-class swear master.
Like, right. I remember the days when I would get in trouble for saying hell when I was a kid. Like, don't say hell.
It's all on how you said it sometimes. Right. The parents would be like, I don't like the way you said that.
Really?
Well, it's all a matter of saying it in front of your parents versus not saying it in front of your parents.
Right.
Because, of course, the thing as a kid was not to swear in front of your parents, but swear in front of your friends to prove, hey, it's cool to swear, man.
He looks like a stuffed animal.
Did anyone here grow up in colder climes other than me?
New Jersey. Yeah,
he totally looks like one of those stuffed rag dolls, basically.
See, I grew up in Montreal. Okay, it wasn't that bad. I mean, obviously, they exaggerated it, but literally, you know, to go to school when it was really bad, you'd put on a snowsuit.
And then he has to go to the...
But it is an exaggeration. I like how Ralphie's just like, I got a coat and everything, I'm fine. And they play the joke out, which is good. She tries to put it. She tries to put him down. They pop back up. This is like Stan. Is it Stan? No, it's like Kyle's younger brother on South Park. Same type of thing.
Kenny, right?
Kenny,
yeah.
No, Kyle. Kyle's younger brother.
Oh, right.
I don't remember his name. I haven't seen South Park in an age.
No, me neither.
The Kick the Baby Canadian kid.
Exactly. Yeah, that's for like the first season, Kick the Baby. I think that they were beyond that. I haven't seen it in seasons. And then, of course, the walk to school in the snow, which I did for quite a few years.
He's walking around like a scarecrow.
Yeah. I like this kid because he's the one who swears a little. He says the word ass. He says smart ass.
He's the bad kid.
He's the one with the mouth. Well, a little bit of the mouth. So this is they're planning the whole idea of the putting the tongue on the pole.
Yes, the old tongue on the frozen pole.
Frozen pole.
Now, who hasn't kind of wondered about doing that in their lives? Like, gee, I wonder if I really would get it frozen to the pole if I did that.
I didn't do it.
I'm sure it's been tried many times. No, I never did that one.
Is that an urban legend?
No pole ever seemed clean enough for me to tongue.
Exactly. When he does this in the film, it's just like, dude, that pole is dirty. What are you doing? Oh, boy, that kid had a great time playing that up. A younger brother. Oh, look at that snow. Mm-mm-mm. This is awesome. I like how they think they're all so clever and smart. I mean, they know they're going to get caught. There was an eye dart there. But
arithmetic.
This gag with the teeth is awesome. And I like how they're really happy to say that to her. And they're just cracking up. I mean, this is why I think it was fun on the set with the kids, especially because if you watch here, she says, and it's just a little thing, and come on up. And as they're filing up, just watch them. I mean, they're still actors, but they're still natural enough that you could see they had fun just doing this particular thing. They're like, here you go. All right, someone please explain to me, why are those teeth chattering now? Don't you have to wind those up?
Exactly.
Except it's
not funny, Serge.
Yeah, it'd be just moving and shy.
I get it. It was just being logical. It's his memory. In his memory, the teeth were chattering.
The pull.
Like the exchange of insults.
So it was the old man.
I like how there's the rules. That's right. And how he explains the narration. This is very important. There is a ritual to this.
He skipped
to the double dog.
I like how there's a black boy there and no one cares. Like, it's not a deal. It's not like, ooh, the black kid, you know? Because this was the 1950s, yeah, after all.
You know what? It's like 35 to 47. No joke. The time period that this was supposedly take place. It's supposed to be ambiguous, but between...
It's supposed to be in the 40s?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's probably post-war.
Yeah, right after World War II.
So it'd be like between 45 and, like, he keeps on calling him smart ass. Like, yeah, I'll do it. Because that's right, because he skipped from double dog dare to triple dog dare, and you have triple dare. And he skipped him, and he had no move left to do. And I like this, and he goes, and then... Now, I don't know how they did this, but they made his tongue stick. Look at that. And he's doing it great. Look at him. He does a great job selling it. Look at that.
Oh, my God. I think this scarred me from life forever trying this.
See? Like, and Bob Clark was smart. He's looking at all the kids. They're like, oh, my God.
They all run away.
They're running. See, that was the goal, to keep you from doing this.
Okay. Come back.
The bell rang. It's like they don't know what else to do. The bell rang. We have to go. Okay.
Oh,
She asked
nobody even volunteers it.
He was like, where's the kid? Oh, that's right. She goes to the window, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ralphie's like, I don't know.
Oh, that's so horrible.
Then she volunteers.
Yankee Doodle.
And she sees that and she's like, what are you doing? And everyone's got to rush to the window and look. Wow, snow. Nice snow.
I'm just not noticing the sort of
and they're just sitting there. They're like, "Oh, yeah. We don't know. We don't have to look." And just like you said, the fireman had to come because that was in the story he mentioned before. Yeah. And the firemen come and everyone, the cops come.
I've never noticed until just now the Peter and the Wolf-like score that runs through this thing with the flutes and
They have the Peter and the Wolf score throughout this movie.
Yeah, with Farkas, when Farkas shows up.
Yeah.
The redhead.
Oh, they.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The bully. Yeah. They always play the Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, look
at how. So it actually is Peter. I haven't heard the actual Peter and the Wolf score.
No, it is.
Oh my God!
I don't think they thought that out. They just kind of ripped that poor kid. Might want to just maybe pour some warm water over the tongue.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, really. He could have done that.
Oh, like the drool.
Oh, that nice. Is so bad. And she's like, okay, guys. He's looking around.
Like that low angle authoritarian shot there.
That's right. And the kid in front, he's just like, yeah, whatever. He's the smart ass.
Well,
and Ralphie's just like, is anyone else feeling remorse?
Well, the code of kids, you don't rat on your friends. Oh.
Yeah, he's bawling. The
dude is just, he's just like laughing.
See, now, going back to the hairstyle, that seems a little... what a woman from that era, that is how she wore her hair. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, I understand this. So it specifically was a choice with Melinda Dillon. So why did they...
Probably because that's how she wore her hair, and she didn't want to change it.
Do you think it's a commentary on the character, maybe, that she doesn't have herself together as much as...
I take it like that, yeah.
But I think it would be in something. She's right.
Yeah, no, no woman from that era would let... Unless they were poor white trash. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And Bob Clark probably was like, can you please do something with your hair? And she said no. She's been known to be actually... kind of difficult on the set. She gave Wes Craven a really hard time.
On what?
An episode of The Twilight Zone, the 80s Twilight Zone.
Really?
Yeah, it's an episode called A Little Peace and Quiet, and it's like a take on the stopwatch episode where you can stop everything around
you. I know
you.
Which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's one that ends with the nuclear missile.
Yeah, excellent episode. But Wes Craven in the commentary said, he questioned every direction he gave her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Questioned.
No, sounds about right.
That's Zach Ward.
And that is the Peter and the Wolf music playing in the background.
Zach Ward was on Dollhouse. He played
In Dollhouse?
He played Zone. In the last two episodes, well, Epitaph and Epitaph 2. Epitaph 1, Epitaph 2.
Totally helpless.
He was the redheaded dude.
Gotcha.
Of course, you know.
He looks almost the same.
25 or 30 years later. Yeah, exactly.
And of course, back then, all bullies were redheads. With freckles.
They were treated so badly. I mean, that's what they had to resort to it, I think.
Let's see. I was a redhead and I wasn't a bully.
In movies.
That's right. In movies, yes, right. The redhead.
You would have been the problem child or the bully.
Yeah, they look like they'd like live in a shanty or something. That poor guy just gets no breaks.
Oh. Oh no, he's not the one with the tongue.
Right. He's the smart ass one. I like the kid who's with him, but the kid walks like he's the tough.
I know. He's like a mafioso.
Well, it's like back to the what was the like Warner Brothers cartoon where you had the big bulldog and the little dog that would run around them?
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah.
He's like, don't hit me. I'll hit you harder. Oh, man.
Yeah.
See?
That's right.
Look, he's a little tough. He's like 3'5", and he's a tough bully. I hate bullies.
Going with that Peter and the Wolf, Farkas actually means wolf in Hungarian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a goodie. One for Gabe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely recognizing Peter and the Wolf now. Music.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's one of those things you don't really pay that much attention to when it's the wallpaper of your Christmas and just sort of running in the
background. Well, I actually, I noticed it because I grew up listening to it and watching the cartoon Peter and the Wolf that they did. Mm. So I recognized it immediately. Mm. I vaguely remember that. I saw it.
There's the dogs.
The dogs.
Of course, they've got the like old farm hick music playing with the hound.
That's what is it? Oh, I know that.
A Western Union.
I like that. The interesting thing about this film, I mean, you've got the through line of the Gumby. They have all these different episodes. You have the father's things. You have the furnace. You have the dogs. You have the lamp. You know.
And of course, you know the dogs aren't there. He's just right. You know, playing it up.
Oh, the ear.
Oh.
Which is like a piece of felt or something. They didn't really put a lot of work in that ear.
He's such a great actor. Really, how he sold all that stuff. He had obviously had a great time on this.
Probably my least favorite scene. I get so queasy watching that boy.
Is this when he starts throwing the food around?
Oh, eats it like the pig.
Oh my God, that's right.
It's like all he does. It's just
that's his dialogue.
I mean, you have to give it to the actor. I mean, the kid, he played it well. He really, really
did. He really did. He did a good job.
He did.
It's so it affects me so much that, you know.
You want to smack him yourself.
Even the father. I like how Darren just looks at him like, you're my, I don't even know if you're my
you
son.
You belong to me?
Yeah, that's right.
There really, yeah.
Come on.
There's that look. Oh no. The mom is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Oh no. Here it comes. She's bananas.
Terrible.
And she's enjoying it, and he's enjoying it.
It brings a sense of,
that's the point. And Ralphie's like, what is this? And the father's like, I don't even know.
He's just shuddering.
He goes back to his newspaper.
Mom loves it, though, so it's okay.
It's like, mom's giving me permission to act like a piggy. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Gabe.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's just... I have no words.
Uh-oh. Oh, but it's at the door.
The anticipation, who's at the door?
And he just plays it. Oh, so cool. Oh, this is the lamp, right?
I think so.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Fragile.
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 I know a lot of people who say that.
Absolutely. I use that line all the time.
This is where it's from. That and Triple Dog Dare You. This end up.
Yeah, there's a combination of the exuberance and cluelessness of the father that just reminds me so much of my own family.
Oh, no. Well, I like that the father just has so much fun in his things, you know. Of course, they drop it. Well, but I like that he's got his things, you know. He's got the things that bug him and the thing that he likes that he can get. And, of course, she has to correct him.
Fragile. Now, why does he get this again? I can't remember.
Did he win it in a contest or something?
Right, no. He won it. It's an award. Won it in a contest.
Oh wait, wasn't he playing? Wasn't he playing something at the beginning?
It was the Lone Ranger. Well, who was?
That's right. The Lone Ranger's
brother's horse, or something.
Yeah, someone's
like
horse.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
Victor was the answer.
Ralph, little brother, still has mashed potatoes all over his face.
Good continuity. There we go.
Love the build up on that reveal, and then it comes out, and it's just leg.
It's a leg.
And he's all excited about the fact that he won something, and
right.
He doesn't care.
It doesn't matter what it was.
Like a Ralphie likes it. Like, get your hand off. Nice. The Canadian Leg Lamp Company, folks. Oh, man. And he wants to put it in the window. Is that what it is?
Yeah, he puts it in the window.
She's like,
God, it's so horrifying. If your wife and your husband brought that home, oh my gosh.
I think that.
But he won it as a prize.
Yeah, you know, gotta.
Oh no, oh, that's wow. Right. That's right. Look at all those plugs.
Love the fire.
And of course it puts it out. The spark still. it's such the
days before surge protectors.
That's right. Before power strips.
And we're like, fire coming out of the wall was okay.
That's right. And also it was fuses. It wasn't a fuse box. Wow, look at that lamp.
You kind of get the feeling this is a guy who maybe would have liked to have read porn magazines, but maybe denied himself. But now that he has this, he's like, oh my God.
Right, yeah, that's because maybe it's just the stalking that gets him. She's very supportive. Very supportive for being so.
He's got to go check out how it looks from the outside.
Yeah. From across the street.
He's like fondling it.
I want to feel the leg.
That's Bob Clark, right?
Oh, is that Bob Clark?
I believe that is Bob Clark.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. And she's just like, oh, my God. And now it's turning into a show. That's why she wanted the hair down so she could hide her face.
Yes, because it was so period appropriate.
Yes. Oh, the kid's face is clean now.
Oh, yeah, she caught him.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she helped him out.
Oh, I missed that little part. And I like how they're listening to the radio now. There's no TV to listen to, to watch.
That's, it must be the 40s then.
Yeah, 40s.
Yeah, late 40s, yeah.
She turns it off. That's her only protest.
And she ran away.
Damn, it's just like bright, shining beacon. Get that back on.
Right.
I don't know that women really... I think this was still the era where housewives were housewives, and they didn't have too much of a say.
Right.
So I think that's why her passive-aggressive way of dealing with the leg lamp is probably kind of realistic of how a woman would have dealt with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because they adhere to those, like, archetypes.
Exactly. Like, the woman stayed home and cleaned and, you know, took care of the kids, and they didn't really have, they weren't really equal to their husbands.
Right.
Even though she's apparently knows what fragile, how to...
How to say fragile.
How to say fragile, yeah.
I like how she's in 19th century, or, yeah, 19th century garb. For no reason.
Victorian look or something to her there?
Yeah, it's Victorian.
Ralphie's got quite the imagination about her. Oh, and he's the only one who put a cover on it. Oh, no, he wrote a whole book. What is what he did? Jeez.
And the Romeo and Juliet music.
That's right. Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet. Wow, he's playing this out long.
A++.
And where does this come out? That's some fantasy there, Ralphie. Wow.
She's still writing pluses.
I like how he's...
Yeah.
Okay, I think Ralph's got the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah.
He was into it.
Oh, boy. Oh, he's like, he's totally stuck in his imagination. Completely.
He's just like his dad, just sort of
yeah.
exuberant and clueless.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Oh.
Now, Farkas does get his comeuppance, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
he does.
That's right. I forgot about
you
that.
Will yeah. see.
That's right. He does. Okay, now I remember. See, all these little things. Once again, it's all because I haven't seen it in order in such a long time. That it's the tree. What's great about this film, too, is it just goes through all the different rituals at Christmas, and then she turns the lamp off. Just all the different rituals. I mean, so they went, you know, they went, they were downtown, and now they're going to get the tree and everything, and just... Well, like you said, it's the lead up. It's all the Christmas season. It's the kids' season.
Yeah.
The dad is really almost kind of a precursor to Homer Simpson, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Touch
Homer
of it.
Homer is much really smarter.
Well, but.
Right. But in the beginning,
his kid,
Homer,
his kid brother would be Homer.
Bad. They've made Homer stupider over the years, right. too. If you remember the early days.
Oh, that's
days,
true. Like the first season, he was a little more grrr.
Yeah.
Full of ant. Yes, but.
You gotta do it.
The rope did it. It's like, I like this. See, I love that the fact that the mom's like such a, she's crazy. She is nuts.
Yeah.
Well, they're all kind of nuts.
They are. Yeah, they are.
They all are crazy.
It's like a sitcom. It is. You know? No one's realistic in a sitcom.
Well, no, but this, I think this is better than a sitcom. Of course, now we get another male ritual coming up.
Oh, wow, yeah.
The tire changing. I think it's the license plate's in Indiana.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
Days before AAA. Oh, well. Has anyone ever changed a tire?
I was just thinking about that. I've never actually
I've helped. Like, somebody, my tire blew out, and actually it's happened to me a couple times where my tire blew out, and, you know, you have to have the proper equipment in order to do it. You have to have the jack and everything.
You got to get it right. You got to tighten those bolts in the right way and tight. I think I've helped with a tire once. Too.
But I've never had it happen to me that I've had to do it myself.
Oh. It's happened to me twice.
God forbid.
Where a tire
blew
out. It was awful.
I've been lucky. I've had flat tires, but never had it, you know.
Your car has a little kit, right? Where, yeah. A little crank jack.
I don't think I did have a jack. But I've
changed a couple.
Yeah.
I've had to use jacks a few times for a few things.
That's right. The nuts. The nuts are the nut covers.
You know what it did? I just didn't know how to use it because it wasn't obvious. It was like one of those kind of weird compacted things. So you had to know how to use it.
Oh, this is it. This is it. This is it.
Yes.
Oh, that's just awesome. I think this is an optical zoom, but it's great. I like how the father is just like, okay, all right, we'll take care of this later. Well, it's cool because the father does take care of it in a cool way. Yeah. He does. He's just like, I'm not going to smack you now.
Well, he kind of smirks here.
Exactly. Yeah. He's just like, all right, but I have to, you know, that's what's cool about this father.
He'll let the mother take care of it.
Well, he'll let it take care of itself and... You know,
no, but he tells the mother later.
Yeah, and then he's going to eat the soap. So.
Yeah. Oh, he's crying. See? Screaming like in a horror movie.
Oh, what a different time period.
Yeah, I used to have to, my mom would do that. She'd wash her mouth out. She would babysit kids, and if someone said a bad word, they had to get their mouth washed out with soap. Did you guys ever have to do that?
Nope.
I think my mom saw this movie and tried it once, and it just, she didn't find it practical.
I don't remember.
You didn't have to like bite it and like he did. Like she would.
I think I was
wash your mouth with soap.
Oh no, never.
I think I was smart enough not to swear in front of my parents until I was old enough to like maybe break them into the idea. But you know,
my parents would have been happy if swearing was the worst thing I did.
Oh, is that the kid who says smart ass?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is the best.
And I love the fact that he blames his friend when in fact his father is the one.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no way he could have said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's funny about this to me
Oh my God.
See if anybody else had this experience. There was a kid growing up that was a friend of ours, and that he was always the kid that got blamed for stuff like this. Like, he was like the go-to kid when you wanted to blame for something you did that somehow he was involved and led you into that experience.
That was any one of my friends, I think.
That was good.
She tries.
She's
it.
Like, oh, maybe I'll try it. See?
It's awful.
For no reason.
Here we go. Here. I forgot how many fantasy sequences there are in this.
I know. Oh my God. I like how he's older and he's still the same.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a moth-eaten trench coat.
His whole fantasy is awesome.
I love Darren McGavin's way he must handles have had it.
Awesome time doing this. Oh man. Life Boy?
What?
I haven't heard that in ages.
Is that a particular soap?
It was a soap. It's been gone for a long time. I like how he's like smiling. I've got my little revenge. Oh, that reminds me. You know, senior year in high school, really quick things popped in my head. We had to come up with a name for a new soap. It was like experiments in marketing. I don't know what it was.
There's a bitten apple on that table. Somebody took a bite out of the apple.
Yes. Oh, little gifts. Bribe the teacher. Oh, that looks like some good fruit. Yeah. At least he's thinking.
It is interesting to see the integrated school.
I know. It's so casual. I wouldn't think it would be casual in that time period.
I think it's actually appropriate for the area. For Indiana.
For Indiana.
And then Indiana. Ohio and that sort of thing. Yeah, that area was...
Well, actually, if it was Indiana, what city would it have been? Would it have been Gary?
I don't know.
This scene right here, the snow is detergent.
Oh,
really?
No.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it became bubbles after a while.
Yeah.
The days when you actually cared about what you got in the mail, not just junk mail. Bills.
Now this would be a 10-minute scene as he weeds through all the junk and starts...
Oh, this is the Dakota ring?
Oh, I love this.
Oh,
so perfect.
All right. Yeah, it was great when you were a kid and you got stuff in the mail that was official looking, like, ooh, wow.
Yeah. Even though it's really just junk.
Well, now we know.
Which is
yeah.
what this turns out to be.
But he doesn't know. I'm trying to think, was I a member of any fan clubs? I don't think I was.
I don't think I was.
I was either.
Gabe, fan clubs?
Nope. Yeah. No, yeah. Not at all.
Yeah, I don't think so, yeah.
I like how every shot of the radio is from below. Well, like yeah. a kid would see it, so it's imposing and like...
There's a lot of low-angle shots in this movie.
Official from their, yeah, looking, totally. It's from their like a person. Yeah.
Well, it's from their point of view. It's like E.T. E.T., I think the whole movie was shot from a kid's
height. From the kid's
height.
Point of view.
Kid's height, yeah. I think practically the whole... I said her.
Yeah,
I
even like I the school scene it. Where you don't see the teacher's like upper body, really.
Yeah,
right?
Or Peter Coyote. Yeah. You never. It's either low-angle or you just see the keys. Oh, the secret decoder ring.
He keeps licking his lips throughout this whole thing. Like wetting his lips in anticipation.
Oh, it's 1940. It said on the back of the decoder ring.
There
we
go.
Could it be 1940? Really? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I got it wrong. I'll be sure to. I like how the music is like building it up like something really dramatic.
And of course, the exact time he goes into the bathroom, everyone wants to go in.
Of course. Well, I like the fact that, I mean, also that as a kid, he's got no privacy.
Yeah. And of course, there's probably only one bathroom in the entire house.
Well, that's true, too.
It does say 1940 on it, doesn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that he gets it. It's like, what a ripoff.
What an advertising ripoff.
He's crushed.
The first of many disillusionments.
Whoa. Oh, what
That's
a transition.
Kind of an odd and disturbing transition there.
Bob Clark was waiting for that one. And now he's like disappointed. He's so disillusioned. His world has been crushed for the first time. Milking bottles.
I was just going to comment about that. Back in the days where you left the bottles out,
Milkman came and replaced them and gave you, you know.
That would have been before pasteurization even, right?
No, pasteurization has been around since the late 1800s.
Is it really? I always thought that was of a time. Maybe I'm thinking of flash pasteurization.
Maybe. But you'd need pasteurization for it to keep like that.
Yeah, it's true.
Like all the smoke.
Oh no, he felt a presence.
Oh.
The lamp.
Dun dun dun.
Wait, you know, she walked away with that look in her eye.
Oh,
she
yeah.
did. She went
she knew now was her time. She'd been planning it for weeks.
That's right.
She knew exactly when she was going to do it when he wasn't there, and there was no way that he could catch her.
He knows.
I like how he
jealous of it.
I like how he takes off the gloves so that he won't dirty the broken pieces. With him.
And look at her. She's like, she's really trying to hold up. Ooh, there you go. That unvarnished truth.
Ooh.
Kind of glue.
She probably planned being out of glue as well.
Yeah. And he knows it. Nope. Not a finger?
No.
It's all tattered.
Yeah. Oh, the stocking is torn and he's all proud and... I don't remember what happens next. Don't tell me. Of course. It comes apart.
She's laughing in the background like, my evil plan has come to fruition.
buried it.
As to like bugle sounds.
Yeah. Oh, the music's great in this. he just drops out of the sky.
Don't listen to him. It is weird that they just submit to it, though.
Right.
Like, he willingly walks over there.
I kind of don't feel bad for him. Yeah. For that.
Oh, you've got a black eye.
Oh, okay, now I feel bad.
What did he get?
See, done, done,
done.
What? Oh, his fantasies are awesome.
Straight out of the Wizard of Oz.
I know.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. She's mother's dressed as a jester. What's yeah, that right, about?
Not just a jester, it's a harlequin.
Yeah.
Oh, they're saying they're multiplication tables. What's with all the junk? I'm sorry. I mean, why is there... junk like a broken down car and everything, abandoned car.
Oh, they're near Farkas's home.
Yeah. He must be some sort of street urchin or something.
It's like
this is like the bad part of town.
Because he's never at school.
When was the Depression over?
When World War II started.
That's when it basically came to an end.
And this is where he loses it.
Yeah.
And yet somehow he could afford braces.
Yeah.
Well,
which were pretty expensive.
Well, if you put everything under a microscope, then, you know.
Yeah. I think that's an
But there's something menacing about his braces. I think that's what
it's like, you know, yeah, exactly. It's like Jaws in the Bond films. Well, the two Bond films. Ooh, there we go. And that's it.
Hey, nobody's ever actually fought back before.
I like how the kids are just...
Like their head warming gear, like they all look strange to me.
Yeah. Oh, we could get him.
Gut
wow.
shot.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh my God.
You mess with Ralphie.
Oh,
the wrong time.
That's right.
And I guess the message here that this movie seems to be telling is that deep down every bully is a wimp. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, the worst thing is what he's saying, not that he's beating him up.
Exactly. Never mind the violence. It's the
it's the words. Like his father.
They must all work for the MPAA.
This is a long fight. Enough time for his brother to get his mom.
Hey, cool it. Cool it, Raffy.
She doesn't even bother with the bully kid. She just leaves him there.
Yeah. She just leaves the bully.
And now his street cred is ruined.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't look nearly so tough without his raccoon hat.
Right. Yeah. He did lose some menace.
Oh, he's upset, man. He's that's good acting. Yeah. I like how she doesn't get upset with him, how she's just taking care of him.
Yeah.
Well, she probably knows that the kid's a bully and you know.
Right.
If it were another kid, she'd probably be a lot more upset. Oh, he's still crying. But are those glycerin tears?
Oh, yeah. Look at the shine.
I know. And how they're perfectly stuck in one place.
Exactly.
Oh, but there's a real tear coming.
Oh, that's ready. He's hiding under the sink.
Yeah. He has some insight for the first time. He's just like,
yeah, you have to kind of wonder if the little brother saves Ralphie by being so upset about him getting hurt.
Gonna kill Ralphie.
Yeah.
And then she's all, you know.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And she just lets him, you know, stay in his cubby.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
He feels safe.
His cubby of safety.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But this is one of my favorite scenes, though. Here.
But it's really touching because it shows the little brother cares about his older brother.
Right, and is not just like gonna sit there and be all just drooling and staring off.
Well, it shows there's more dimension to him.
Yeah.
Oh, those dogs.
That kid will probably grow up and be like a great artist or something, you know?
Because he feels everyone's pain.
He's
been there the whole time. That's a nice transition.
I love Dad's reactions. He was in the, all right, whatever.
They seem to have mashed potatoes every night. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, whenever they have dinner, they have mashed potatoes.
It was the 40s. I don't know.
You eat mashed potatoes every night in the 40s?
I wasn't alive in the 40s, so
it's like mashed
potatoes
and, like, a steak or, like, meatloaf every night.
Yeah, meat and potatoes. That's, yeah. It's the American way.
Yeah. I would love to live like that.
Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes.
I could do it every day, I think.
Meat, potatoes, and apple pie.
Stick of butter with everything.
That's right. His mom completely covered for him.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That was really nice.
Yeah.
He acts like a little adult. He's just very grown up in this, in that part.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't play it like a child, really.
Scott Farkas affair. That's got to be a band somewhere. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I think this is my favorite scene coming up with the Santa kicking him down the slide. Ho, ho, ho.
If we're going to go with favorite scenes, I'm going to have to say the Chinese restaurants.
Oh, well, yeah.
With the racist joke.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, not racist. I mean, it's more like.
It's certainly stereotypical.
It's stereotyped. Yeah, yeah, it's more stereotyped.
I think it'd be more racist if they were teaching them to sing.
There's Mickey.
Well, and there's the Wizard of Oz, so it had to have been sometime after the Wizard of Oz came out.
After 39.
Yeah.
Aw, shucks.
He's like, I want to see Santa. I need to see Santa. What kind of, what's a circus? I can't read it. Oh.
Oh.
Don't go dissing the parade.
I like how Ralphie figures out that Santa isn't the real Santa, but he must have a deal with the real Santa, the one in the mall.
That's a nice shot coming up at the escalator.
Yeah.
Like this whole display of going up all the way there and taking the slide down.
I love how all the kids are screaming when they go down.
I know, and I've never seen anything like this, but I think it's great.
Don't they all scream when they sit on his lap? Like,
yeah.
They all take their turn just screaming.
I think they scream when they go down the slide.
No, they scream when they're on his lap, too.
It's just a bunch of screaming.
That's right. See, go. We're going to go this way.
You said Gene Shepherd was in the scene?
Yeah. I think he should be coming up soon.
Is that him?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, that's
his
voice.
Him.
Wow, yeah.
Wow.
I never knew that until recently.
That is...
Oh, I love this kid. Yeah. He doesn't speak. He just smiles like an idiot.
Terre Haute.
Oh, he does speak, but...
Terre Haute is in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think it's... Likely it's supposed to be Gary. I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Either that or Indianapolis. There's a lot of Wizard of Oz imagery in this.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Oh.
Oh.
Don't bother
me. He's really focused is what it is.
He's
that kid is so creepy.
But you're right. Yeah, he's acting like a little adult. He's like super focused on what he wants. He's really
even got
serious.
A little tie.
Oh, man.
Early bad Santa.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha.
I like the evil elf.
I know. So with gleefully does his job. Yeah.
I never remember meeting a bad Santa. All the Santas were nice. Oh, there's the crazy kid. And he screams. What is with the elves?
Oh, they're so mean.
They're so, and then now I like the subjective camera gets up in there.
That's about the only handheld moment in the movie, I think.
And all he does is scream. And Ralphie's like, I don't care if the kids are screaming. I want to ask him for the present. Oh, man. This is cruel to kids. He's like, I... So we got the subjective, we got the handheld. He's like, come on. And Ralphie's in there. I'm going to do it.
I like this shot right here.
Oh, wow. That's a fisheye lens. With the red nose. That's great.
Yeah, use that bell. I like the way he uses that bell.
The pressure.
This guy's so crazy. It's like insane.
I like the internal monologue. It's great. And I love this. And he hangs on. He stops. And he climbs back up.
They're like, damn.
And the smile. And he, this is great. With a foot to the face. Even rejected by Santa Claus.
They're still there.
Yeah. He hasn't moved. That's right, he didn't. Oh, boy. You see, now he's being friendly. So was it...
Maybe his perspective.
Yeah. But then again, the elf was tossing that little kid practically onto his lap there. Oh, the tree.
Look at that tree.
Oh, not the bulbs. And this is the old bulbs, the bigger ones.
Oh, no.
And he has to replace the fuse on the Christmas tree. Okay. Oh. I like how magical that was. He just went off screen and it happened.
Oh.
Oh, the Christmas tree ritual.
Still crooked.
It's more crooked.
Yeah.
tackling each other to go up the stairs. Oh, boy.
Ruining it for any kids watching the movie. When did you guys learn that Santa wasn't real?
What do you mean?
Santa's not real?
Santa's not real? They didn't say anything there. They just said, oh, come on. They didn't say anything else. What? I
think my friends ruined it for me.
Laura, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
My dad kept it going until like I was like
18.
10.
No.
Yeah. Well, I wish.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah, I think my friends ruined it for me too. Yeah. That's usually how I found out about a lot of things. It's through my friends, yeah. Not through my parents.
Oh, when it snowed, it's always nice when it snows. Well, actually, that's snow. That's ice or snow.
Oh yeah, we're already.
Well, actually, you know, I gotta say,
there,
growing up in Montreal, honestly, I mean, it got cold. We have our first snow usually in about mid-November, would almost melt. But the snow didn't stick until like January growing up. So it was rare that we had a white Christmas. We had like one or two, and that was about it. But that could just be geography. Wow.
That's nice.
See, Santa does exist. Okay, Gabe, you are right. He's a little weird.
No, he's crazy. And maybe he just has like, you know, ADD or something like that.
Yep. And he's looking all around.
Yeah.
Where is it?
I like how all the food is already out there. It must have been there all night, I guess.
Well, the cookies?
Yeah.
The cookies were left for Santa.
No, but the candies and everything is like perfectly arranged.
She arranged it for when Santa came down. It would be there and he could have one. And the glass of milk.
Well, no, you're supposed to find eaten cookies and an empty glass of milk.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Well, maybe he just cleaned up after himself and put it in the kitchen and washed the glass. Socks. Oh, man.
Yes, back in the day when getting socks
that kid a
was
bat.
Lame. But now, like a nice pair of socks is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really. Ooh, he got a Zeppelin.
Zeppelin.
I can't. It was Simon. He's like, it doesn't get better. Oh, no.
There it is.
Yeah.
See? Oh, it's Aunt Clara. Oh, and the father's like, oh boy, I gotta get
I think this is where I really lose respect for the mother when she forces her son to wear this.
For her amusement, though.
For her amusement, yeah.
Right.
Like,
Is that a fly swatter?
Later in life, she's going to make the little one like pig out when he's a grown man, and he's not going to want to do it. But
it's like, Mom, I don't want to do it. No.
But it's our thing.
That's right.
If I ever had a son or any child, I would never humiliate them like that. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh. That's the old bowling ball in the lap gag. Ooh. What? Oh, it's a bad joke. Hmm. If you look at the stairs, actually, it's interesting. In the wider shot, it's interesting how you can see in the middle of it, there's like a black streak around on the wall. Like when they come down, they've almost put their hands up against the wall and rubbed it for years.
Oh.
So you look up, see right? Oh, you can't see because he's hiding it. She is so cruel. See how there's like a black smudge against the wall back there? The brother.
If that would happen now, the little kid would have a cell phone. It would already be up on Facebook.
Right.
And there'd be the pictures of the brother coming towards him slowly but surely to grab him and basically kill him. Yeah. Oh.
His arm wrapped
and
around his zipper.
Clara. Come on, just a little wine. That's life. He's just like mildly disappointed and like, He's looking like, what do you know?
I like how the mother seems to be surprised by this gift. Like, this was not done with her input.
Right.
But that makes it special. But he didn't ever told his father. His mom.
Right, and that makes him a good dad for knowing.
Right.
No, he did tell his father.
Did he?
When did he?
Didn't he?
No,
then
he
told he told his mother.
Then, he told his mom.
Because remember, the father left. And, yeah. Or maybe the father saw the ad in the Look magazine.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
He gets it after all. And he promptly shoots his eye out.
That's a nice BB gun.
Dad must have had one.
Mm-hmm. Right. A BB gun.
I remember we used to have wars with these things. It probably wasn't the smartest of things.
I actually never shot a BB gun.
Did you guys?
No, hang on. I think I maybe shot someone else's BB gun.
We had the more, you know, a couple generations later where they had like...
laser sights?
No. They had the like CO2 cans attached. To
yeah.
Them.
Oh, no.
The dangerous ones.
Yeah, exactly.
The really dangerous
man.
Ones. This movie ruined BB guns for me because when I got my first BB gun, it didn't look like that.
Did you ever shoot your eye out?
Almost.
Really?
Well, it depends on what you shoot at. The BBs do bounce back, though, on occasion.
Right.
I almost shot my sister's eye out.
Oh.
That's, yeah. Bad ricochet.
Oh, the turkey.
Wild, ravenous light. I love the narration.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Of course, got to come up with a line right after that.
So, like, how were you supposed to shoot a BB if it's shot back at you? I mean,
well, you don't put it on a piece of metal. It's
right. Yeah, you don't put you.
Or shoot at a fence or, like, stuff like that.
Right. Oh, that's right. Oh, man. Oh, and this is classic. The classic, I'm looking for my glasses. It's like, you know, just when you think it could get worse, it got worse.
Oh.
Yep.
Firecrackers are another thing I remember having as a kid that you don't see around kids as much anymore.
Weren't they illegal?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, yeah, you still hear them, you know.
You still find them to play with them. Oh, yeah. Okay, his crying's a little forced.
Well, it's supposed to be forced. Because he said, I'll whip up some tears.
Oh, I missed that part.
I'll whip up some tears.
Yeah.
What, he's going upstairs with his boots? What? Oh, now he's crying even better. Oh, that's right. There's a great...
An icicle.
Hey, we used to have some killer icicles hanging off the house. You had to be careful. You did, seriously.
I believe it.
There was some... She knows.
Yeah. Yes. I like how he breaks the fourth wall for
that. Yeah. Right. And then he just goes right back into the act.
And he never gets caught for this lie.
You know, it's like when they do that in 16 Candles. Anthony Michael Hall, when he's got the girl in the car, he looks right in the camera.
Right.
It's a great take. Terry and the Pirates. Nice. Oh. Oh, the dogs. Oh, no.
Oh, this scene always bothers me.
I know. Oh, man.
It's the turkey.
Yeah. Get the BB gun. I like his swearing because it's great, because it's nothing, it's nonsense, and he sells it too. Oh man, just the turkey wing. Yeah.
Chop suey, fellas.
This is I like how it said bowling.
I love.
Well, because it was bowling, and then they took the W out to make it Bowling's Chop Suey Palace.
I love the moment when the goose comes out.
What I like about this is cool because it's in a telephoto shot. They're shooting through the window. You know, they never actually go into the restaurant. Well, I think they made it maybe in one or two shots. But I like that they hold it like this from the outside. Like we're like just watching in on them. And I like they change the key. Oh, no, they don't. It's so bad. It's just so bad.
Back in the 80s when it was cool to make racist Asian jokes.
Or any race.
Speaking of 16 yeah. Candles.
Every race is
Long
game.
Duck Dong.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's right. Just go worm. Oh, man.
It's got the head on it.
And they bring the goose out, yeah.
I love that reaction.
The reaction is awesome. And then even better, when he cuts
when
it,
he chops
off,
it off. Oh,
but we don't eat it with the head.
Yeah, that's the
this is all in one take, too. That's
yeah,
so
well, that's
impressive.
All they, well, actually, all they did is they pushed, they zoomed in, actually, yeah. But they're still outside. It's still the same take. Oh, man.
That's good stuff.
Where's the Jewish people? They should be in there with them.
You're...
Yeah. And of course, they're at the table, of course, you know, all lined up. So we could see them all at once.
Yeah, right. They're not, you know, surrounding it. They're just
That's
all.
Right. It's all the TV setup.
It looks like there's something off the side blowing it, like a little wood chipper or something.
You know what? It sells it. It's fine.
He's sleeping with a gun.
But of course, and he's sleeping with the Zeppelin.
Yeah. You know, I'm so used to seeing this movie with commercials, I forgot it's only about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
it does seem longer because it's a marathon.
We're at 90 minutes, yeah.
Would ever see.
Yes.
Wow. Ah, Peter Billingsley. I don't know why he stopped acting. Now he produces.
I think, you know, as a child actor, you grow out of it. And becoming an adult actor is a totally different thing. Very few actors actually make the, you know,
I love
the transition.
That. Darren McGavin. Yeah,
as the old man.
The old man.
Excellent. Scott Schwartz.
Oh,
flick.
It's Scott Farkas.
Scott Farkas.
Scott.
Scut?
It was Scut, S-C-U-T, yeah. Kid with goggles, Black Bart.
Did you ever see The Toy with Richard
Pryor? Oh, are you kidding me? I've seen that so many times.
And that kid.
That was one of my favorite.
Never seen it.
Favorite movies.
That's with Richard Pryor?
And who was the Jackie Wonder Gleason?
And Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason, Richard Pryor, and Richard Donner directed that.
Shot in Louisiana, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What?
The premise is... the boy gets to pick any toy from one of his dad's department stores, and he picks the black janitor, which is Richard Pryor.
Okay, and that's not racist?
One of the most racist,
well, racist
movies I have
See,
ever
there
seen.
There you go.
But it's excellent.
But no, it's, Richard Pryor completely plays on all that.
Right.
It's, yeah,
yeah, well, you think about Blazing Saddles and all that. Yeah. He totally plays into the black racial stereotypes.
Well,
I mean, as a joke, not
right. No,
you know,
right, yeah,
right. Not like he's totally making fun right. of them.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really good. It's pretty good.
Oh man, that's a great movie.
Yeah, I did. What the what toy?
Wheel? Yeah, oh, the toy. Yeah.
See, I've never seen it. So
it's of that same era of as what was it? The Stir Crazy and,
right.
and some of the other
oh, yeah,
ones.
Yeah, when Richard Pryor was working with Gene Wilder.
Yeah,
a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, they finished this off
in Toronto.
City of Cleveland.
They shot this in Toronto.
City of Cleveland. Well, I guess it's supposed to be Indiana, but they shot it in Cleveland.
Right.
Okay.
And I heard that they didn't even shoot it in season for some of the scenes. That's why, hence the detergent as the snow. And
yeah.
Probably easier.
Actually, I think this place, you can go to this house in Cleveland. If you research, you know, Christmas Story, you can find
right.
it. Yeah,
1983, simpler times.
MGM back in the day
when MGM wasn't debt ridden.
Oh,
well, as of this right now, when we're doing this, MGM is actually going through its bankruptcy. We'll be coming out of bankruptcy shortly.
Yeah,
just stay tuned to the blogosphere, and you'll find out. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Christmas Story.
That's a Christmas story. Hey, and this DVD even has a commentary with Peter Billingsley and Bob Clark. Oh, wow.
Ooh.
I've never listened to it. Should listen to it sometime. So, yeah, this was okay.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Never get tired of it.
Yeah. I wonder, yeah. So what you do now is actually you listen to our commentary while you're watching the thing on TBS. No, it gets ruined because of the commercials. You can't do that. Oh, well.
It'll be interactive. You just pause during commercials.
Yeah, that's so going to work. So what makes this a classic? I pose the question, panel.
It's universal. It has things that all kids go through. You know, it's mostly things that boys go through. But, you know, I mean, I can relate as a girl. I can relate to a lot of what happens. You know, like with wanting the present and getting bullied and being curious about things and the various misadventures and, of course, the hounds next door.
Wow. Okay.
Like, you know, just like random things, life things that happen, or Santa Claus and the mall experience. And,
right, it taps into all of those.
Just taps into, or like wanting to impress your teacher, and your teacher not doing what you want her to do.
And the reason that this runs for 24 hours as opposed to any number of other Christmas movies is because it does all that without being preachy in some way about Christmas, which is, I think, the failing of so many other Christmas movies about what the real message of Christmas is.
And, yeah, it's just a family movie.
Actually, I think that's part of it. You're right. It doesn't get preachy. And the other thing about it is, essentially, this is a pretty episodic film. It's all about different episodes. Now, some of the episodes are related to previous episodes, but it's like you can watch one part, walk away, and then, you'll see that the second or third part of that one little subplot come up, and there's like four or five of them in this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's based on a series of short stories that they weave together to make a movie.
Right, and so I think that may be what allows it to be run again and again until you catch parts of the story. So it's got that flavor to it. So it's not like one big, even though getting the rifle is the one big story.
Right.
That's the end. I was thinking it's strange that he gets away with the lie at the end, almost without any type of repercussions or anything. You know, he kind of lies to his mom about, like, he did shoot. He almost shot his eye out. And
he's learning. He learned.
Right. Well, I just think it's cool.
But
that,
did he, though? He was hugging his gun at the end.
Well, no, but he got his gun. I mean, maybe he learned a few lessons. I mean, he did have some growing experience. He's the one with the arc in this.
I think it's smart that Bob was like, you know what? He's going to get away with this lie. And it's gonna, and because the audience is gonna want him to, right. I think.
Well, yeah.
Well, he's saved by the dogs a bit before it can get into too much detail about what's going on. Yeah. The dogs come in and move the narrative along elsewhere.
That I don't really understand. Like, that's just always hit me about this movie is that he lies to his parents at the end. And most of the time, like, a movie wouldn't let that be. You know,
wouldn't lie again.
But I think that's, you know, that's a kid's experience. You'll get away with some things, and you won't get away with others.
Right.
You know, and that's the one thing he managed to get away with because he was smart. And it's like, okay, I can figure my way through this one. I mean, sometimes it didn't work. I mean, he tried to lie his way out of other things.
Right.
And it didn't
this
work.
One personally, I thought that's okay. You know, you don't want him to sully that the present. You know what I mean? He worked so hard.
Well, maybe that's the one thing. Maybe he got the present, and so now that gives him the wherewithal to say, I know how to get away with this now. Interesting. Well, on that note, Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 ho.
Merry Christmas. Ho, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho,
ho, ho, ho, ho.
So, anyway, this it's Christmas season. This has been Serge. Ho, ho, ho. saying so long from Film Grok. And
Mike Smith.
And
Laura Thompson.
And
Gabriel Cordova.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas. See you at the next Film Grok. Bye.